Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Dave. Great to be with you tonight. What an encouraging night. We have not one, not just two, not just three, but four groups commencing tonight. There you go. I see men in hats in the front row, but I don't really deserve to wear this, so I won't wear it long. I haven't earned that right yet, but it's an exciting night. We're so glad you're here. If you're here for the first time tonight, we're equally glad you're here. So glad you've come here. My hope and my prayer for you is that you would find hope. Wherever you're coming from, whatever's going on in your life, we believe that God has brought you here because he loves you, and he's got something better for you in your near future. We've been talking about steps and the different steps and the biblical basis for the steps that we follow here at Regen. We've gone through step one, admit that apart from God, there's nothing we can really do to change our circumstance. 2 weeks prior, we talked about believe and then trust. And tonight, we're gonna talk about the important step of inventory. It's actually the longest step we have here at Regen. If you've been through this, you know it takes about 6 weeks to get through inventory, and oftentimes it's a place where people really begin to wonder, am I doing the right thing in being here? So let me define what inventory is, and then let me give you 3 reasons why we do inventory, because oftentimes when it comes to inventory, the question isn't how we should do it, but why? Why are we doing this? Why are we pouring so much time into doing an inventory of our life? So here's what inventory is. In inventory, we make a searching and fearless, say it again, we make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We look at our lives holistically. We look at our lives start to finish. We evaluate the ways in which we've sinned against others and others have sinned against us and harms that we've inflicted upon others and the harms that we've received. We evaluate to see if we have any resentments that are unresolved. Why? Why do we do that? Why don't we just move on with our lives and do our very best to keep walking with Jesus? I want to give you 3 good reasons why, and they all come from Psalm 51. So if you have a Bible tonight, turn with me to Psalm 51. We're going to look at 6 verses. I'm going to give you 3 good reasons why we should do an inventory, and then we're going to hear some great testimonies tonight. Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. This is a psalm that King David wrote, if you know the Bible story, right after it became public that he impregnated a woman who wasn't his wife. She was actually married to one of his key soldiers, and he had that soldier killed in battle. So this becomes public. David is exposed, and he pins this psalm. And 3 reasons why you and I should participate in inventory, why we should make a fearless moral inventory of our lives. First one is simply this: God loves me and is merciful. God loves you and is merciful. God loves us and is merciful. David says in this psalm that his love is steadfast. That means it's not fickle. It's not fleeting. God's love for us is not failing. God's love for us is more about him than it is about us. God's love is about who he is, not about who we are. God's love is ultimately about what he's done for us in Jesus and not what we do. And he's merciful. God is quick to forgive. God is looking to be compassionate and merciful for us. So if the one who ultimately judges us is for us and he's forgiving, then it compels us to come forth and be honest about the moral aspects of our life. Here's a second reason, and I think this is just as important. This comes from verses 3 and 5. Here's the second reason. I was born in sin and have lived in sin my entire life. You were born in sin and have lived in sin your entire life. We were born in sin and have lived in sin our entire lives. Here's what David is saying. David has said, I was conceived in sin. Now, I don't think he's taking a moral shot at his mom. I'm not thinking he's saying here, hey, I'm the result of a cheap one-night stand. What David is saying is something that we see throughout the scripture, that you and I, as members of the human race, are born guilty before God. Our common parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God, and the Bible teaches that God counts their sin against us. when you and I are born as human beings, we're born with sin. And guess what? We're not only sinners by nature, we're sinners by choice. As we grow older, we get really, really good at sin. It's the one thing we naturally do well. And David is saying before God, you're for me, you're forgiving, and I'm perpetually in sin. You have sin in your life tonight. I have sin in my life tonight. We all have sin in our life tonight. That's the one equalizer in the room. As a matter of fact, scripture goes so far as to say in 1 John 1 that if anyone says he hasn't sinned, you're not only deceiving yourself, you're calling God a liar. We're born in sin and we have sinned our entire lives. But here's the third point, and I think this is critically important. If you look again at verse 6, let me read it for you one more time. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom and the secret heart. Here's the third thing of why we take an inventory. God delights in my truthful heart. God delights in your truthful heart. God delights in our truthful hearts. When you and I, in the innermost place of who we are, honest before God, God takes delight in us. God is already pleased with those of us who've turned from sin and trusted in Jesus according to the worth that Jesus has. But God is particularly pleased with us when we're honest about our lives. We can look backwards and forwards into our life and we can see that we are sinful and we're honest to God about that. I had this experience recently. For some of you who know my story, you know that I was a part of a larger church in Seattle that failed miserably as a part of the senior leadership team, a church called Mars Hill. I listened again recently to the rise and fall of Mars Hill. And the first time I listened to it, I was defensive. I did a lot of blame shifting. But as I listened this second time, I listened with, Lord, what can I learn here? What do you want from me? What do you want in my innermost being? And I came to the realization that the things that happened with me and through me and to me at Mars Hill were because, for me, it really wasn't about Jesus. It was about me. It wasn't really about making much of him. It was about making much of me. It wasn't really about fearing him and respecting him. It was about fearing others and respecting others. And in that, there's a freedom. Friends, God loves you. God desires that you be free. And the way that you and I are free is we're honest about our sin and our shortcomings with him. He gives us the grace and freedom that he can only give us through Jesus. And you and I get to live in the freedom that that brings. So glad you're here tonight. We're going to celebrate big time tonight, especially for those who are about to commence. But before we do that, I want to introduce a friend. Chelsea is going to come forward and share her stories, how she's found freedom in Jesus. Will you welcome Chelsea with me?